At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have an excellent show for you this week. Kevin Burkhart, Greg Olson, the number one team at Fox, number one NFL team at Fox, calling Packers Niners on Saturday night. Then they have the NFC title game. They join me for a wide-ranging conversation about broadcasting and their work together and NFL stuff with Greg, and really good stuff from the number one duo at Fox. And then following Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olson, Sal Licata joins me for our weekly Train of Thoughts segment, where we talk about the NFL playoffs and Sal's house hunting, which everyone is into, and a bunch of other topics. Before we get to it, if you missed it last week, Jim Miller, the man who wrote the book on ESPN, was on the podcast to talk about all of the controversies there recently with Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers. We got into the Sopranos 25th anniversary, Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back February 4th. Discussed all that with Jim Miller, who is an expert on ESPN and HBO. So if you missed it, listen to that podcast. And if you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, hit that subscribe button. Leave a review on Apple as well. All right, let's get to it. Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olson, followed by Sal Licata and Traina Thoughts, all right here, right now on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, wanted to get them together all season, finally making it happen here before the divisional round. Fox's number one NFL broadcast team. They have Packers Niners this weekend. Kevin Burkhart, Greg Olson, gentlemen, thanks for coming on. How's it going?
Good. I was going to say you should talk to your booking agent to get us on earlier, but that's you. So you, yeah. I guess just talk to yourself.
Oh, the stories I have from booking this podcast. The stories.
You need a bigger microphone.
I know, isn't it?
It's why just is a, it so little?
I know. Is it? It used to be white. It stood out more. Now it's not as bad, but
gigantic.
Because I used to have a smaller one, but this is supposedly like top of the line, top of the line.
Well, you're a top of the line guy, so that's.
I mean, it sounds great. It sounds great. It is enormous, so it should sound great. I would say.
I listen to like the top podcasts. They sound like shit. I'm like, nobody cares what it sounds like. They just be entertaining. No one cares.
I care what it sounds like, because I turn off podcasts when it sounds like shit. I got to tell you, I do.
Have you guys ever had like a massive technical glitch calling a game?
I sat on the mute button once.
Oh yes, I remember that. That was
my fault. That wasn't a glitch.
well, that's
Kevin, you got a better memory than me, Kev.
But I had one with Charles Davis in the preseason. This was shit. I don't remember what year this was, but we're doing a preseason game, and we had we had like a brand new remote truck, like a state of the art, and all these things that I don't understand. But something blew right for the game, and we couldn't hear each other like during the game. It was wild. So like Charles and I had to stand next to each other and like just kind of like talk to each other over the crowd. It was wild. But like at home, you didn't really know. So like we pulled it off, but it was the craziest thing ever. We couldn't hear it. Our headphones were like dead for half the game.
I mean, when you think about it, it's kind of amazing. There's whatever it is, 16 games every Sunday and prime time. And there's rarely glitches. Like you would think it would happen more often, 18 weeks, but I don't want to jinx you guys. But
yeah, let's avoid that that discussion right now.
Let's not put that out in the universe.
Exactly. Well, we'll get to the kicker jinx. We'll get to playoff stuff, broadcasting stuff, whole list of things. I want to start with Greg on this. Everyone's talking about the Cowboys. You got into it on Twitter with some people. McCarthy this, McCarthy that. To me, the Eagle collapse is such a bigger story than the Cowboys losing in the playoffs. Maybe I'm wrong. I get it. It's America's team. From your assessment, though, what the hell happened to the Eagles?
Yeah, the Eagles is definitely an interesting bird, because no pun intended. Unintended. I'm not that smart. It's very rare in today's day and age to see a team that's wildly talented that has success over an extended period of time, right? This wasn't like a 4-week sample size where they started out 4-0, 5-0, came out of nowhere, and then came back down to reality. We see that all the time. I think what was so jarring about the Eagles was every team has their time when they fall into a little bit of a rut, right? You think back early this season, San Francisco's on top of the world and they lose three straight going into their bye. They come out of the bye, they regroup, and here they are. What was weird about Philly was not that they were 10-1 and then went on a tough little stretch. It's that they weren't able to get out of it. They weren't able to fix it. They weren't able to kind of rally the troops and say, okay, guys, all hell's broken loose. Let's get back to what we are. They've got great leadership. I mean, think of the leaders in that locker room, right? You got Lane Johnson and Kelsey and Brandon Graham on defense. I mean, they got some really experienced, really well-respected, good players. And it's very hard to explain. You just don't see perennially, we could call them a great team. I mean, they're a possession away from being the Super Bowl champion. And then carry it right into this year, which is not easy for the Super Bowl loser. And then just fall off the face of the earth. I mean, in that playoff game, they weren't even competitive against Tampa, who's, right. I think they have a lot of questions to answer. I think, there's some reports out that they're trying to figure out the coordinator situation, obviously on defense, that you got to imagine that's going to have a pretty significant change, but it's hard replacing coordinators. It's hard replacing both coordinators at the same time. That's why a lot of teams now are hiring head coaches who do call the plays, because then you don't lose the coordinator ever. There's a lot going on there, and I agree with you. I think it's a much bigger collapse than what we saw with Dallas, and that's a whole nother conversation. I'm on the record that I think Dallas made the right move for their franchise. I got no dog in the fight, but I think moving on from Mike McCarthy would have been emotional.
Yeah, I want to get to that. One last thing on Philly. I feel like it's going to be a situation where we end up hearing some stories about the locker room, the coaches on it. It does feel like there's something there that we don't know about. Would you think that's probably the case?
I don't think it's a football. I mean, the defense was a situation that was a football thing. You do a mid. They're replacing Jonathan Gannon with Sean Desai. Sean Desai's running Gannon's defense. That's hard to do from the jump. Then you replace Desai with Patricia, who's now running like two defenses removed. It's just hard. That was definitely a football thing. I would not be shocked. I don't know what it is. I hate to speculate. Something seemed off. There's no question.
And then you were basically the only person in the media who didn't think Mike McCarthy should get fired. What was your logic in that?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think we live in a society where it's better for content. It's a better weekly radio, a better weekly talk show. It's better on those programs we see on TV all day during the week. It's better if Mike McCarthy is fired. That is better business for them, right? It is better business for the Dallas Cowboys job to be available, to be rumored that Bill Belichick's going to go there. And Jim, like, those are amazingly fun storylines, but those are emotionally driven narratives that when you boil it down to football, which I'm not a talk show host, right? Even though in the second half of games, when we call blowouts, Kevin and I turn into talk show hosts. My job is to give opinion on what's best to run football teams from my perspective. And when you have the 3-year run that they've had with Mike McCarthy, and you lead the league in scoring, and you have a top five defense, and you win the division, and you're on your quarterback's going into his last year of his contract. So are you going to pay Dak on his best year and then change his play caller? Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So then if you change his coach and assuming his play caller, you can't give him a new contract because you want to see what he does with the new play. It just, the defense scored more points than in history. It seems like than ever, right? Defensive special teams. The defense always is going to regress. Defensive regression is by the, you know, as true as any factor in the NFL. It's just natural. So do you want to start all over again? Do you want to change it on your quarterback who just had an MVP type season? Do you want to, it just, there's no sound argument. There's no sound argument that the new coach was going to take you to the suit. No one could answer the question. And I posed it and nobody decided to respond. Give me a guy and give me a reason that leads you to believe that next year, same roster, that coach is the difference between them making the Super Bowl.
Well, what no one said,
so why fire the coach?
No one said Belichick.
What of the last 4 years tells you Bill Belichick's taking that team to the Super Bowl?
Well,
who's calling the plays? Who's his coordinator?
He'd find someone.
Who? Why? He might find him the last 4 years.
Well, he didn't have a quarterback the last 4 years.
I just think to say over the last 3-4 years, just take those 4 years sample size. Would you rather Mike McCarthy's track record or would you rather Bill Belichick's results? Which one?
I'd rather have Bill Belichick as my head coach than Mike McCarthy.
Based off what?
Guys won
six Super Bowls with Tom Brady 5 years. No greater than 6 years ago.
Yes.
All right. We beg to differ. I think we all get caught up in the moment. I think we all get caught up in the immediate moment and saying change for the sake of change is going to lead to better results. And it's almost proven to a certainty that it very rarely does. Yeah.
What's funny about the Cowboys is, you know, everyone was going crazy about them losing last week. And, you know, if you're not a Cowboys fan, you sort of root for them to lose, even though they're quote unquote America's team. But for you guys and the networks, Fox, especially because you guys have the two NFC games these next weeks, CBS has a Super Bowl. The Cowboys drew 40 million viewers last week in a game that was terrible. You know, we know what they drew on Thanksgiving and the rate. They are good for business to keep them in the postseason. I mean, I know you guys don't, at the end of the day, you don't care who's in the game, but can you imagine the numbers a Cowboys NFC title game would do? And, you know, does your mind ever go there, Kevin?
Well, I mean, they've been there. Amazingly, they've been there once since Fox has been in the NFL business, which is kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, really?
Look, I mean, we obviously the Cowboys are a big draw, right? I mean, we've seen it. We've been involved in a lot of their games. Shit, we did them 10 times this year. So we know that team like the back of our hand. We know the players, the coaches, all that stuff. They're fun regardless because there's an emotion there. People either love them or hate them, right? Yeah. Yeah, of course that would be a story if they got to the championship game. I mean, but I think it just goes to show you the NFL, just how monstrous the NFL is. 40 million, two iconic brands, two franchises that have electric, you know, fan bases that span the country. They're not just regional fan bases. And I think you get caught up, and as many people want to see the Cowboys win, there's just as many across America that like to see them lose.
Yeah.
So that's why that's the kind of the beauty and the fun of doing their games. There's always stuff. There's always drama, whether they're playing great or whether they're not playing great. You know, and just to add to Greg's thing on McCarthy, you know, the one thing is doing them as much as we've done them the last 2 years and getting to really know them. Dak Prescott, remember, Dak was close, really close with Kellen Moore. He swears by Mike McCarthy, swears by him, had his best year of his career. So I think that's part of the equation too, that when your quarterback who was like best friends with the guy who left and then all of a sudden the guy that replaced him, he swears on his career on him, you know, kind of hard to move on from that, I think.
Yeah. So you guys have Packers, Niners. That game is Saturday night at 8:15. Let me ask you this. I'm going to sound like a total dope and I get it, but we'll get Greg to like analyze how much of a dope I am with this. I get that Jordan Love has played really well lately. I'm not saying he hasn't, but like, I have a hard time with him going into this game being like, he's a sure thing based on what happened with the Cowboys, because I can't recall ever seeing a game where the receivers were that open on almost every single throw he made. Like, can we take anything from Jordan Love out of that game? Because it seems like any quarterback would have been able to complete those. The Dallas defense wasn't anywhere near any receiver on almost all of those throws.
You watched any of the last eight games he played before that?
That's what I was going to say.
I did, but the playoffs are a whole different story. You know that. In San Francisco, that defense, like, this is going to be another level here, don't you think?
I think the team is another story. But I know Greg, I mean, we've talked about it. I know what we both think, and you're the opinion that matters. You think he's the real deal.
Yeah, I think what we have to be careful is, even though it's going to happen, if Green Bay goes out there this weekend and loses significantly, right? Just for the sake of this conversation, let's say they struggle early, San Francisco gets out to up front, and the game does not align the way they want it to, like it did last week, and that's how their season ends. The reaction's going to be from people sitting there waiting to, you know, indict Jordan Love, saying, see, I told you, he's not that good, right? Like, people are going to sit around and they want everyone to fail. They were excited after Brock Purdy threw four picks or three, whatever it was, against Baltimore. But if three of those balls that were tipped fall to the ground, people aren't. We live in a society where everyone's waiting to say gotcha, right? They're waiting for everyone to fall. They're waiting for everyone to fail. To Kevin's point, last week was not a mirage. Last week was not a coming out party for Jordan Love. Maybe it was to 40 million people because it's the most that have watched the Packers play this year, but it wasn't for us who watched him on Thanksgiving dismantle the Lions at Detroit on Thanksgiving morning. We called that game. We walked out of that stadium saying that's as good a quarterback performance as we've seen from anybody all year. I don't care who it is, right? So the last eight games of the season, nine, whatever it was, I mean, including the playoffs now, so that'd be the ninth game, eight regular and now a wild card. He's got 21 touchdowns and one interception. This is not a flash in the pan, regardless of what happens against San Francisco. It does not undo the run of football we've seen from this quarterback making his first full-time as a starter with, outside of Aaron Jones, his entire skill group prior to this year. No one, including all of us, had ever heard of them.
Right.
Their first and second year guys operating Matt LaFleur's system. Matt LaFleur is one of the best offensive minds in the league. We can't hold it against them that the plays worked. We can't hold it against Jordan Love that everybody was open. We got to give credit to Jordan Love on the touchdown to Wicks on the cover zero blitz. He checked the protection, brought the motion, and got them in the perfect play to run it and beat man coverage on the outside. That had nothing to do with the play call. That was high-level quarterback play. So I think we have to be careful when guys throw to open receivers, using that as an indictment against the quarterback, when between that, there's a million plays that don't succeed or don't even get called if it wasn't for what the quarterback does. That's why we try to point it out and spend so much time on it during the broadcast, because the fan and the viewer deserves to see the little things. And I think that's what our broadcast tries to do, maybe a little bit differently, a little bit of a different take than the others. We don't just follow the ball. We're going to show how the whole thing ties together. And a big story coming out of Dallas, and frankly, the last half of the season, was Jordan Love.
Yeah. Well, and I don't mean it's an indictment. I'm not that much of a dick. I'm just saying every receiver seemed to be open all day long in that game. So it's like, all right, let me see him go into San Francisco now and face that defense.
He might struggle. And right. I've seen the best quarterbacks in the league struggle against San Francisco. Right. Right? I've seen, you know, we can go down the list of the teams that San Francisco has played this year and the amount of quarterbacks over the last 3 years that they've made look foolish. So I think we have to be careful to say, okay, in order for us to take Jordan Love really serious, he has to go throw for four touchdowns and no picks and 320 against San Francisco, or else he's a fraud. It's like, well, right. This is arguably the best defense of the last 3 years. So I think we have to make sure we're mindful of, if it was Patrick Mahomes going in against them, we'd say, okay, I mean, there's a chance he might throw a pick. There's a chance they might win. I mean, that these kind of defenses are very challenging. I don't care if you've played 10 years or if you're making your first full season as a starter.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Now, one of the things Love and the Packers will have going against them is you two calling the game. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I did a little research. I think I'm accurate here. You guys have called 19 games this season. You've only had 5 games decided by a touchdown or less out of that 19. And you've had 9 of those 19 games be decided by 20 or more points. How frustrating is that as a play-by-play guy, Kevin?
Oh, we're well aware. So this was our, I guess this was our penance. Like, we get an all-time Super Bowl, and it's like, okay, we're going to give you an all-time Super Bowl. It's going to come down to the wire, and then you're going to have like 4 competitive games next year.
Yeah.
It's been wild. I mean, we've had great games on the schedule that just haven't worked out, right? Like, yeah. San Fran, Philly, Dallas, Buffalo. I mean, who wouldn't have signed up for those games? It's been weird. We kind of laugh about it now. And yes, as Greg said, we have definitely honed our talk show skills in the second half of these games. So I really would like to have a close game. Greg, wouldn't that be cool to have a really down to the wire situation?
The spread on the game is 9.5, and now you two are calling it. So it makes me think, you know, San Fran 30, Green Bay 3, but you know.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in and think. We're going to change our philosophy, Greg. We're going to go in and say, you know what? It's going to be a fucking blowout. And then it's going to be a nail biter. What do you think?
Yeah, I think at this point we laugh so we don't cry. we've walked out of more stadiums this year, dejected. And we look at each other and we're like, I think we did good. I'll be honest. The whole fourth quarter, I'm sitting there trying to talk about AFC playoff pictures and it's week 7. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just, it gets so out of hand and the game is so out of reach. It's the backup quarterbacks. It's, you know, and you're just scrambling, you know. But listen, our job is to call the game that plays out in front of us. And I think that's the beauty, especially in my short time of doing this. Obviously, Kevin, a lot longer. That's the part I've come to enjoy. It's very similar to as a player where you can prepare all you want. You can think you have the game nailed. You can have all the scenarios in your mind played out. But until that ball's kicked off, you have no choice but to be at the mercy of the game. And that's the part that I find fun, right? I find the challenge is, we can call a close come down to the wire, how to manage a 2-minute timeout usage. Should you go for 2? Boom, boom. We can call that with our eyes closed. That shit's easy. That's in the moment. Everything's on the line. I feel we lay that out better than anybody. It's carrying the broadcast when the game's out of reach and nobody cares about why such and such team's run game is doing so well. They just pop a run for 20. I'm not going to spend the next 15 seconds talking about the great combo block by the right guard. It's irrelevant, right? So that's been the one positive of this year is we've now covered every game on the spectrum. You can't give us a game that we haven't experienced as far as highly contested overtime or a blowout after the first quarter. And now we're just filling 3 quarters of airtime like it's, you know, Monday morning talk radio. Yeah. So it's been a learning experience. And I don't wish for it to continue. We got 2 more games. We would do anything right now for a competitive down to the wire like every other network seems to get.
Do you have your subjects ready to go in case it's like 30 to 10 San Fran in the fourth quarter?
We're always ready.
We're ready. We embrace it. Let's go.
We can call that game tonight.
A lot of Christian McCaffrey for MVP talk and all that stuff, right?
Well, he should win Offensive Player of the Year.
But Easily.
If anyone doesn't vote for him, they're lying. They should lose their vote.
Yeah. That trade went so sort of when it happened last year. Did not get the attention it should have gotten, and because he was always hurt. Now, when he's not hurt, you see the guy is just
lethal. Those of us who, for sure. I think him being banged up that 21 season into 22, whatever the heck the years were. But I mean, I was there for his thousand yard season in 19. I mean, there was no mistake around the league just how talented that guy was and what he was capable of. And his injuries were all minor. They were all little nicks and soft tissue stuff, like nothing earth shattering. Yeah. And man, you talk about putting the perfect talent in the perfect system and just hitting play and go.
Right.
He was made to play in a Kyle Shanahan system. And you got to give credit to John Lynch and Shanahan. They knew exactly what they were doing. They didn't care what they had to do to get him. And I think the results speak for themselves.
Might be the second best trade in NFL history, for crying out loud. I mean, seriously, right?
Behind.
No doubt.
Well, Herschel Walker was pretty good. Right, I think that worked out for Dallas.
Yeah. I don't know how closely you pay attention to the betting stuff. I don't think you do. But like McCaffrey's like minus 340 to score a touchdown in the game. Like in the gambling world, that's an insane number. Like it's crazy, but that should be the number. I mean,
well, he scored 34 touchdowns in 30 games. So, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's the most touchdowns anyone's ever scored in their first 30 games with a team.
No.
It's insane. I mean, he scores every game, if not one, two. It's incredible.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Do you guys do, is your prep any different for a postseason game, or it's the same as weeks 1 through 18?
Same for me. I don't know. I think Greg's is the same. I think you just keep everything the same, like routine the same, you know, prep the same. I don't know. We got this last year when we were doing the playoffs, you know, together for the first time and going through the whole run of the Super Bowl. It's like, I don't know. You work hard and do this routine that works the whole year. I don't know that now is the time to change it. You know, I think the only thing different is you look at a lot more minutia maybe that you have to sort through, because, you know, there's less games where everyone's kind of focused on all these games and all these stats and everything. But yeah, I do the same exact thing, Jimmy. I can't change. I'm too old and grumpy to change my ways now, man. Jeez.
What about you, Greg?
Yeah, it's for sure. I think we're, you know, again, I draw on a lot of my playing days as I kind of learn this new craft. It's, you don't ever want to alter your ways based on the, you know, the magnitude of the situation, right? That's where guys get into trouble. You try to do too much. You try to be a hero. I feel pretty good about my prep. To Kevin's point, you get a lot more info, you know, that research packet, instead of being 15 pages, is 25 pages. There's more access to information. The teams are a little bit better in theory. Granted, we call a lot of the top teams all year, but in theory, the games are better. The teams are better. There's a lot more talented players. There's a lot more content and storylines, which I would argue makes the games easier. You don't have to work as hard to just have normal conversation about the season and their top players and the ebbs and flows and what makes them good. They typically have good coaches that are interesting. So the playoff games, to me, once you lay them out early on, once you have a pretty good feel for, okay, here's what team A should do, this is what they're up against, this is what team B should do, this is what they're up against, how both teams should adapt, whatever. Then all the prep is just allows you to follow the game, and you're ready. Wherever the game goes, you're prepared and comfortable to follow it. But yeah, I think the process during the week is very similar that it's been for, you know, for a couple of years now.
Who are some of the best guys around the league? coaches and players, when you do get your pregame meeting, we had talked about this, I think maybe before we started rolling, that you guys are still doing the meetings on Zoom. You're not in person. But who are some of the coaches and players who you love speaking to before a game, who will either be funny, who will give you good information?
Yeah, I mean, Shanahan's incredible, honest, open, never in a rush, always willing to really, whether it's tell funny stories or really dive into the matchup in the game and give great insight. Dan Quinn. Oh, I mean, we did the Cowboys so many times. Dan and Mike McCarthy were amazing to us. Always open, unlimited time, gave us real answers. They didn't give us like coach bullshit and, talk circles. So those guys were awesome. Kev, who comes to mind for you?
I mean, there was obviously, I really like Dan Campbell. I think he's,
Dan,
I think
was great.
I mean, there's a lot of people who are great and enjoyable to talk to. I think the biggest thing you're looking for is just some openness and some honesty, right? Like, hopefully you build up enough trust now where the coaches may give you a little something like, hey, like this is going on, or this is some of our strategy. Obviously you don't share it, and we wouldn't. Or this person's not going to play, but don't say it. Just like it helps our stuff that helps our prep. Right. So I think that, and then you really, honestly, you'd be amazed, Jimmy, like a lot of this is just, you're getting information for sure, but a lot of it's just shooting the shit and telling some stories. And like sometimes that kind of comes out on the air. Right. But you're really getting to know these people. I think that's really what it comes down to. Like we did Dallas so many times, and we know Dak so well. We rotated and met with a lot of their players and just got to know them a little bit and get a little feel for them. That helps us broadcast the game better, I think. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of great ones. I think those that Greg said certainly come to the top of the list though.
Yeah. And just to add what Kevin said, what's fun is so much the guys that you talk to a lot, especially the guys that are very comfortable and very confident, LaFleur and Shanahan and McVay and Campbell, like the guys that you see a lot, and there's no like formal, like, hey, coach Greg here, look forward to it. Like, you don't have to talk them through it. They get it. They're in, they're not distracted by other shit. This year alone, like McVay and they bust my balls, but like during the fall, like McVay and LaFleur, like they're asking me about my 12-year-old Pop Warner team, and I'm like holding my phone up to the thing, like showing LaFleur. I'm like, dude, I stole this play from you, and we ran it for a 2-point conversion. And then McVay is asking me about like what offense we run or whatever. Then on like Saturday night after a game, I'm in my hotel, and I text him a couple of videos. I'm like, coach, this was our third down call. Look what we ran in the red zone. And he's writing me back like, there's a human side to it that I think the coaches enjoy. I think in a week where they're just hit with questions, hit with typical stuff in their press conferences and the stress of the games and the pressure, I actually think a lot of the guys enjoy the production meetings. I think they enjoy that we're not trying to like pin them in a corner. We're not trying to make them look bad. We're just looking to have open dialogue so we can present the game fairly and accurately. And we're not looking to get you. We're not looking to, oh man, I burned you there. We want this to be where they look forward to our crew doing these calls. And as Kevin said, you build that trust as you go. It helps us be better. It helps us be more fair presenting, especially if that team's struggling or having a bad season. We can say, okay, listen, this is their struggles. We're not excusing it, but we can give some backstory. I think that's the objective. And the teams that we've had the most, I think we've built really good relationships and rapport with, to Kevin's point.
It's cool hearing that about McVay and Chan. I mean, I'm not shocked that those guys would be that way, but you have this image of coaches are so straight laced and they're just worried about the game and nothing else. And, I'd expect players to come in and bust your chops. A guy like George Kittle seems like he'd be a riot, like in a meeting or something like that. So it's good to hear like the coaches,
I'll add one quick thing and I'll be fast.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, we were getting ready to call our first New England game. And obviously, again, the fact that I wouldn't want Bill Belichick to coach the Cowboys today doesn't take in like he's still Bill Belichick, right? He is the GOAT. He is like the godfather of coaching. So there's a lot of like anxiety where I'm like, oh man, I got to make sure I'm not like wasting his time. I ask him a stupid question, he's going to like blow me off. My most memorable moment was that first Bill Belichick press production call.
Yeah.
He couldn't have been more forthcoming, transparent. If you ever need anything, don't feel free to reach out. I remember going like for a day, I like called Kevin. I'm like, here are my questions. Do you think they're good? Do you think he'll be okay? And he couldn't have been. I remember hanging up from that call being like relieved. I had like a week of anxiety over that call, and he couldn't have been more personable and relatable. It was really, I mean, I don't know him that well other than playing against him and seeing him. So that the production calls come in all shapes and sizes.
You think he may have been that?
Go ahead. I want to add one quick thing.
Do you think he may have been that way with you a little bit because you were a great player?
I don't know. I don't know Coach Belichick overly well. I mean, I've played against him a bunch and I've always had obviously a lot of respect and said hello to him after the games and whatnot. I don't know, but and again, I don't want to say like I didn't want to say like I went in with bad thoughts, but like I didn't know.
All I know is what I've seen.
But man, when I tell you the call, now we've done them a handful of times since, and he's been the exact same way. Like, he couldn't have been more like his time was unlimited. We weren't annoying him. We weren't keeping him from something. He wasn't in a rush. He was open. He was storytelling. He was asking me questions about our career, Kevin. Like, it was one of the cooler experiences to get 45 minutes to bend the ear of Bill Belichick on a call where, you know, he doesn't owe us any explanations or whatnot. So it was cool.
No. What were you going to say, Kev?
I was going to say, then, you know, you're asking us the guys that then you have guys, you know, we're telling about the guys that we know and deal with. Then you have guys like this year we did Miami. None of us knew Mike McDaniel. Certainly we all knew enough people that know him and, you know, talked to people and asked some things about him. And, but none of us knew him. And so we get on and, you know, the cool thing for me is I sit, you know, Greg starts the meetings and they just talk football, you know, and we all have like a little bit different like line of questions sort of, but Greg's just talking ball and breaking down the game really. And so I could sit like a fly on the wall and just listen for hours. I love it. So he and McDaniel are going back and forth and Mike, again, we don't know him. He's like, you know what, Greg, I didn't know I'd like you this much. And it was just so fucking funny. Like we all cracked up. Like, but I mean, you know, we were talking to him for like an hour and we used the smidge of it on the broadcast, but the rest of it was just kind of like, you know, building a relationship. It was cool.
Well, he's definitely one of the characters of the league. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
I want to get into, it's funny because Greg said McCarthy's great in the meeting. So now we know why Greg didn't want McCarthy fired. You know, can I tell you what I loved about the whole thing with you and McCarthy? That is the first time I saw any Greg Olsen backlash ever on social media. I mean, everything is Greg Olsen is great. Greg Olsen's the best analyst. Greg Olsen is a pleasure to listen to. And all of a sudden, there was Greg Olsen backlash for the first time ever.
You dive into that Cowboys Hornets nest, it gets wild.
I'm sure.
And again, I will go back to the beginning. We don't need to beat a dead horse because I think, listen, no one agrees on who the perfect coach is. No, you know, there's a reason these owners hire and fire and go, this is not an exact science, right? Mike McCarthy could win 6 games next year. Right? None of us know. No one predicts the future. We just go off of what we know in the moment. Yeah. We try to make good decisions that aren't emotionally driven and rash in response to something negative, right? I think that doesn't lead to guaranteed positive outcomes, but I think it increases your chances in all aspects. But I think it goes back to what I said earlier. I think the Cowboys are a lightning rod. They dominate so much of the content we absorb during football season. It seems like they are the leading story every single day on every single show, television, radio, social media in between. So I think when you dive into a debate involving the Cowboys, you're throwing yourself into the fire of tomorrow's headlines and tomorrow's block A of whatever show. And that's okay. And they don't all have to agree with me. It turned out that Jerry Jones agreed with me, but which is all that matters. But he could win. He could lose next year and they could not even make the playoffs. And great. The Cowboys are unique. But I also feel like, to Kevin's earlier point, we've covered them so much and feel like we have a very good idea of what makes them tick and what their processes are. And by no means are they perfect. Have we criticized them at times this year? Absolutely. We've been the first on air and have Dallas Cowboy fans saying, you hate the Cowboys. We want Troy and Joe back. You guys hate. And that's okay too. But like, we got to call it like we see it. I think in 17 years, Mike McCarthy's track record as a head coach is pretty good.
I put all that football stuff aside, though. You're not a big tweeter, but you made sure to tweet and get your victory lap in when it was official that McCarthy was staying. How sweet was that? Were you waiting for that? You had that tweet ready to go, fired up?
I'm an inconsistent Twitter Xer, whatever the word is now.
I just say Twitter, yeah.
I'm not a huge social media guy.
Right.
I don't get wrapped up in a lot of it. I think it can be an exhausting place to exist. If you know, I know some guys are like daily video breakdowns. Look at me. We get 3.5 hours every Sunday to break down a game and have 30 million people follow us. I don't need to rehash it during the week, but there are a few times where I just feel like I have to enter my voice into the conversation because what needs to be said needs to be said. And there are certain things I feel very strongly about, and I don't like when people speak out of turn. I'm not saying I'm always right, but I don't like when people say reckless things about games or on call and come from a place of misleading the public. I don't know. I pick and choose my battles. I don't need to win every battle, but it's a lot nicer when you do.
Yeah. You enjoyed hitting send on that one last night.
Yeah.
Admit it. Yeah.
I needed to pick me up. It'd been a long day.
Needed to pick me up.
Yeah. Now, ironically enough, Kevin, again, never really gets any negative publicity or any negative press. Everyone loves Kevin. Cowboys, again, you jinxed their kicker, Brandon Aubrey. What was that backlash like?
This was the reason why this was fun was because Olsen was having a heart attack the night before. We were talking about Jinx and the kicker. He's like, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to say he's made 35 straight kicks. That's what he's done. He's like, you can't. I don't want to be the one to jinx him. I'm like, listen, man. Like, I'm not. I don't care. Like, I'm not one of those guys when you're doing a baseball game. Like, oh, don't mention no hitter. Right. He's throwing a no hitter. I'm gonna mention it. Sorry, I have no bearing on if he gives it up or if the kick is missed or whatever. So we're dying at dinner. We're laughing and we're having this back and forth. And then the situation comes up, and not only do I say it, but we put the graphic on the screen. And Olsen's like grabbing my arm in the booth, and he's like, and then he said on the air, like, I don't want any part of this or something like that. And then forget about like the kick, like, you know, maybe grazing the post or slightly missing. It gets blocked and nearly returned for a freaking touchdown. Yeah. So he is like losing his mind in the booth. I'm like, I can't believe that. Like, seriously, can't believe that just happened. So then it became a thing. And then, you know, then of course, then he misses again. And I'm thinking back to Dallas last year when Brett Maher like kind of had the yip situation at the end of the year, and it became like a problem. And then I was like, oh man, I hope this kid makes a kick. Like, you know, right. Like, I hope he comes on and makes a kick. And so he comes on the last time they kind of kept their throwing the ball to give him another kick. And it was a 50 yard kick. And I said, well, Greg, he's 9 for 9 from 50 this year. And Olsen almost tore my bicep off. Like, he's grabbing me like, what the F are you doing? Like, stop. You've already done enough. And then he hits the kick. And then, to be honest, I was like, oh, wow, thank God he hit that kick.
Close call. Close call. I don't know if you guys do this, especially Greg, with the, but can I get a Super Bowl like matchup prediction out of you guys? What do you think it's going to be?
You know, I know the NFC better than I know the AFC. I feel, I don't love picking the games before I go because the fans already think that we have our favorites and that we root against them. Right. If you're asking me who on paper I think has been the best team in the NFC for pretty much the entire year would be San Francisco. Right. Now, does that mean that they're going to win this weekend? No, I don't, you know, I think they're the best team. I think they have a great roster. I think they have all, you know, everyone knows San Francisco. Does that mean that I would bet my life that they're going to make the playoffs? No, I mean, make the Super Bowl. Like, I don't get into the prediction thing. I look at it from a football standpoint. I think they're an amazing football team. I'm not hoping they make the Super Bowl so that I can say I was right. I'm not hoping Green Bay makes the Super Bowl. We are praying that this game is close in the fourth quarter. So everyone listening to this podcast, we don't give a shit who wins. We want close games. We want drama. The outcome is irrelevant to us. So I'm not going to go there.
And I believe you. And I'm glad you're not doing Tampa Bay, Detroit, because then I would push back, because I think everyone has to root for Detroit. Like, how could you not root for Detroit after what that franchise has been through. Like, it's such a great story. I love seeing that. Like, you want them to keep going just because of the story of it and those fans and
yeah, you know. No, for sure. And we're all human, right? We all tied up in the humanity of all this. Coaches, you have friends on certain teams. But during the broadcast, and obviously Kevin can speak for himself, but my philosophy during the broadcast,
right?
If Christian McCaffrey has a great play, he gets a ton of praise under Simi. Right. So if Christian McCaffrey is one of my best friends in the world, if he has a bad play where he misses a block and stuff, like, I can't ignore it, nor would he expect me to. Right. So, like, we have to make sure that, yes, as cool as the Detroit story is, and oh my God, they're in the NFC Championship, that city would be insane. But like, it's not fair to the work that Todd Bowles has done and Baker Mayfield's story and Tampa Bay being able to regroup from Brady leaving. And now here they are left for dead and they're back in the divisional round. Like, maybe not the story of Detroit, but equally a great story. Like, they owe the same approach to their journey to get here for that game that we would give Detroit or San Francisco, whoever. Like, we need to call the game that plays out in front of us. Next week's matchup, tomorrow's matchup, the Super Bowl and all that. Like, we need to be fair to both teams, both good and bad, present the game in a fun and in an entertaining manner. But like, if you get wrapped up into like pushing for outcomes and pushing for certain teams, it comes across on the broadcast. And I personally, I don't try to get into all that. Like, we want drama. We want close games. That's it.
I feel bad for you guys. I really, not you two specifically, but all people who do what you do, because no matter what you guys say, no matter what I say, I write it, fans don't believe that. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of like one of these, like I've always said, like, sports fans are deranged. And I put myself in that category because I'm a sport. Like, we have just these mental things. Like, sports fans do not believe that you guys don't root. It's kind of crazy. Like, no matter, like, every single play-by-play guy and analyst who I have on this, they always say, we want close games, we want close games, we want close games. They all say, but like, every fan is convinced that every announcer roots. It's kind of bizarre.
You just don't even think about it. Like, that's the number one question I always get. Is it hard not to root? Look, I'm into this industry because I'm a diehard sports fan. Of course, like, it's all I did was root for teams growing up. But it never even crosses your mind. Like, when the lights go on, I don't know how else to explain it. Yeah. You know, you feel good for people when things are done or results are done, or if you're at home watching the game that you're not working, certainly. But like, I don't know, Jimmy, like, it just never enters your mind. You're seriously just hoping for great drama and great storylines and all that stuff. So, but I mean, yeah, of course, that's like the reason why I got into this, because I'm just like you, we're not dying with my teams, right? That's so I get the aspect of it.
Yeah, there was something that happened in college this year when Alabama beat Georgia, and Fowler and Herbstreit were calling a game for ESPN, and ESPN had a camera in their booth and showed them reacting to Alabama beating Georgia, and Herbstreit was like going crazy because it came down to like the final play, and all these people were like, see, Herbstreit roots Alabama. The guy went to Ohio State. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. It's comical.
It's a losing battle. But listen, I don't blame fans. I think the passion of fans and how allegiant they are to their own team is what makes all of us have a job, right? It's what makes all of this so interesting. So I don't hold it against people. I don't take it personal. I understand the blind passion of fans. And frankly, I encourage it. I love it. You should live and die with your team. You should not like when your quarterback gets, you know, pointed out for throwing a bad pass I get it. But if Josh Allen makes a great throw and they're up 35-7 on you, it can't be, oh my God, how much does Olsen love Josh Allen? Well, yeah, he's up 35-7. Yeah. He's doing pretty good. Yeah. You know,
there was stuff about Romo. There's a lot of stuff I saw about Romo this week saying he's gonna like, he doesn't know who to root for, Allen or Mahomes, because everyone thinks he roots for both. So now he's like, stupid, like, people, though. Yeah, so stupid.
One of those two guys' games, yes, they're gonna dominate the conversation. They're two of the best players in the entire league. What commentator team would not be spending a lot of their time highlighting what Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Josh, whoever?
Yeah.
Those are the stars of the NFL. Of course, they're going to get talked about. And when Josh Allen throws two picks, we're going to do a replay and show why he threw two picks.
I do like, though, like what you said.
Not this week. I'm not jinxing him, Bills fans. I don't mean this week. I mean in general.
I do like when you get that. You didn't say anything good about this team. Well, they had 11 yards at the half. It was kind of hard to say.
What did you want us to say?
I mean, Jesus.
Kevin and I talked about this briefly before you jumped on. You know, I said you love these two weekends. These are by far the two best weekends of the season. You have the four games this week, championship game. The Super Bowl to me is nonsense. That's for like the fringe fan, not the diehard fan, but the guy and gal who's in it every week for 18 weeks. Like, these are the 2 weeks for them. But it's also depressing because it's like it's over soon. It's a bummer. Do you like Kevin? At least he does baseball in a couple of months. Do you get depressed about it ending, or are you like, give me the off season? I'm ready to go on a beach somewhere and relax.
You know, it's mixed feelings. It's similar when there's a player, right? There's a when the season was done. The nice thing now is we get to go on our own terms, right? I never had a season in 14 years. Ever end with a parade, right? You know, we had one shot at it, played in a couple championship games, won Super Bowl, didn't go our way. But like, once you got past how the season ended and, you know, the disappointment or the good season individual, whatever it was, there's always like the deep breath where you're like, it's done. I'm not on the road every weekend. I get to catch my breath during the week. I get to be around. So I think it's very similar to that, albeit we get to walk out of the last game and say, great. Like, we're, you know, no bearing to us. That NFC championship game, they go on to the Super Bowl. Somebody else, you know, CBS obviously calls it. We go about our merry way. But yeah, I think just it's a long season. You know, you're on the road every weekend. You're gone. You're missing family stuff. You're during the week, you're watching film and staring at your computer. And, you know, now the spring comes and you get a little more free time. You get to go out and do stuff that maybe you've been pushing off and whatnot. But I love the season. I always did as a player. I still do it loving this, the grind of it, the week-to-week process. I like, you know, we wouldn't do it if we didn't like it. So I'm not sitting here saying, you know, a pity party. But
yeah. I do think it's the best weekend as a fan is this weekend, though, because I used to think that before I got into this. And then, like, just from a pure, like, in football, like, when you're a football nut, like, you know, we all are, Jim, you and I are, obviously, like, you just sit on your couch the entire weekend and eat as many cheese balls as possible. Mm. And you've just got nonstop games. And usually the divisional round is really, really good. Like, our game Saturday night, I cannot wait to wake up Sunday and stay in my pajamas and just watch football all day. I am not going to leave the damn couch, house, DoorDash, pizza. What, like, it's going to be great. So I think
this is the weekend.
Weekend for the fan.
Yeah, I do. This is the weekend. I would not be doing my job if I didn't ask this one question. You guys have two games left. You have this week, you have Green Bay at San Fran Saturday night, and then you have the NFC title game. Fox has this plan. Tom Brady's supposed to come in next year. A lot of people didn't think he was ever going to do it. Now people think he's going to do it. Have you thought about this could be your last two games together? Has that been on your minds? Any conversations about that?
Who'd you say? Here's what I think. We've been asked this question every single day since the beginning of last year. And I think if I'll speak for me, if I thought like that, like, oh my gosh, like I would have been in the fucking nut house by now. Like I think we are going to do what we have always done and go out and enjoy the heck out of it. Have a great time and let the cards fall where they may. I can't imagine doing it any other way or thinking any other way than that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And obviously for me being, you know, directly impacted, you know, one way or another, to Kevin's point, you know, this is nothing new, right? This is nothing new in this, in, you know, this career path. And it was nothing new when I was a player. You know, I had been tried to be replaced and been replaced and traded and cut and, you know, whatever, all in between. It's the life we all sign up for. You know, we're all big boys. We all understand that all aspects related to the NFL is a very competitive environment that a lot of people want to get involved in. It's a fun, it's a lucrative business. It's all of those things. So, you know, when everything went down and we knew that Kevin and I were going to start, you know, call the slate of games starting last year, which obviously was going to end in a Super Bowl, there was no bigger magnifying glass on two guys in the booth than us. That's there was true. No story covered more on a week to week. And then it picked up when it went to the playoffs. You know, how are they going to handle the big moments in the playoffs? This is different than, you know, 1 o'clock on Sunday. And then the 2 week leading up was, all right, how are these guys going to call a Super Bowl? Neither one of these guys has ever called the Super Bowl. And all we do and all we have ever done to Kevin is exactly what Kevin just said. We just keep calling our game. We just keep doing the game the way we see it, the way we talk about it, and the way that we find maybe is a little bit different, new. We point out things that maybe not everyone's pointing out. We dive into subjects of the game that are kind of a little more new age and a little more analytics and, you know, just little sprinkles of stuff that Kevin and I find interesting. And we think now after doing it for 2 years with this team, we feel like a lot of people find it interesting. We feel like a lot of other people now are starting to talk about those things when maybe they hadn't always. So we're going to keep doing us. Whatever team I'm on next year, whatever my future holds, wherever I am, so be it. Obviously, I'm on the record about how much I respect Tom. I understand the situation. He's the greatest football player of all time. I get it. I understand what we all sign up for, but it is not going to alter one thing we do, and it does not take away one thing from what we've done. All we've done is continue to deliver, and the ratings and all metrics show it.
I'm glad you said whatever you're doing next year, because didn't you recently say you were looking to maybe get into coaching?
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously rumor and speculation, you know, about the Panther job. Obviously, I live here in Charlotte and played the bulk of my career there.
I don't want to interrupt. I just want to, would you be able to go right into a head coaching job? I'm just curious, because that you can. No problem.
I mean, in my mind, I could.
Okay.
And again, I'm glad you brought it up, but I think the word experience gets thrown out a lot, right? Everyone is so worried about experience.
Well, everyone flipped out over Jeff Saturday. That's why
Sure. And again, I don't know Jeff, and every case is different. And obviously Jeff's a Hall of Fame type player and had an amazing career. And I get all that. So this is nothing to me or Jeff. I'm just talking in theory. We have this idea that in the football coaching, no other coaching, right? We saw former players that have never coached a day become managers in baseball or, you know, head basketball coaches in the NBA. Like, we see guys rise up fast in the other sports, but for whatever reason, the NFL has this narrative that unless you brought the offensive coordinator cups of coffee for 5 years and slept on your couch and started as the assistant to the assistant to the assistant, there's guys now that are head coaches that I was in my fifth, sixth year of the league. I was already making Pro Bowls playing, and they were the assistant to the assistant tight end coach. And I say, okay, from then to now, and again, I'm hypothetical. This is not like an exact person or anything. But like, their journey in the NFL is no longer, in a lot of cases, is shorter than my experience in the NFL. So just because I didn't start out, just because I was always a player, but I didn't start out as, you know, quality control or whatever, that it makes me more or less qualified to be a coach. I think we put too much stock in that. I think John Lynch has built the best roster in football, and he was sitting next to Burkhart the year before. I think we see it in all industries. Me and Burkhart, you know, people said, oh, how are you going to do going straight from calling games to calling a Super Bowl? I think we did okay. Right. So I think the game of football is something that a lot of people know and a lot of people can do at a high level. And frankly, there's a lot of coaches that have coached for 30 years that are some of the worst football people I've ever been around. But I think we confuse time and experience with competence. Mm-hmm. And they're not, sometimes they're directly related. And oftentimes, rightfully so, but not always. And I think the idea is to get the right person, not the person who's been doing it the longest. Those are not always the same thing.
Yeah. So would you only do it to become a head coach? Would you become an offensive coordinator if a team wanted you?
No, I would only, and again, I would never leave my current job.
Right.
So I just want to be clear there. Like, if Fox told me, hey, you're going to call the A team for the next 20 years, there would be no coaching job on the planet that would replace that in my mind.
Oh, okay.
Doing what I'm doing now is the dream. This is the best situation. It's the best work-life balance. It's fun. It's engaging. I've learned more about football in the last 3 years than maybe I did while I was a player for 14. Like, it is a really cool experience. So by no means is this something I would do this job forever. But as we all know, circumstances change, situations change. That's been well chronicled. I don't know what I don't know. It's right. Impossible to predict what that holds. So if that opportunity did present it and I wasn't sitting in the chair next to Kevin, who wouldn't entertain that?
But only head coach.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a position coach and sleep in my office and shit. No chance.
I like that. I like that. That's good. That's good. All right. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. I know it's a crazy busy week. Packers, Niners, Saturday, 8:15. And then I'm saying this, not the guys, but like a Lions, San Fran, NFC title game, that would be tremendous for you guys. No disrespect to the Bucks or the Packers are they're a brand name, but like the Niners have been the best team all year. The Lions are the story. Like that's a hell of an NFC title game. But you guys, I know, are not rooting for anything, but I just wanted to say that.
I'm just rooting for something to be within one score with, you know, in the second quarter. Yeah. I'm gonna vote for that. That's
my nine vote. Games decided by 20 or more is insane. What was the worst game? What was the worst game? Was it, I see Giants, Dallas, 49-17, New England, Dallas, 38-3. Was there one where you guys looked at each other and you said, like,
that New England game was pretty bad.
Yeah. So you know what it is? Like, let me say this first.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not digging ditches here. Like, we have fun with it no matter what, right? Like,
of course.
We're so lucky to have the job. So don't misconstrue that. Yeah. And we enjoy it, and we always have fun with it no matter what the score. But I think sometimes there are games, like sometimes you just have bad games. That happens. I think sometimes the games are the games that surprise you. Like for me, Greg, we did Lions Baltimore in October. I was in the middle of doing baseball stuff, and we were so jacked about this game. We thought it was such a cool game, such a fun game. You know, and it's also cool for us when we do different teams. So we don't get to see Baltimore very often. So that was cool. Yeah. Get to see Lamar and that whole crew. And then they got their doors blown off. I mean, and it was in a matter of seconds. And we looked at each other like a second quarter, like, what the hell just happened? Like, those are the games that I think are hard because you're expecting like a great game. And then it, like, you know, sometimes you have a matchup where it's like, this might not be so great. And it turns out it's not great. But when you think it's
38-6 was that game.
And it was over in 10 minutes. Like, so that to me was the one this year that really shocked me.
Yeah,
that's a good one. There's so many, it's hard to remember them all.
Well, hopefully, for everybody's sake, yours, the fans, everybody, we get a close one in San Fran on Saturday night.
Hey, when's Licata going to make a guest appearance here? I mean, was he too big to come on? And like,
no, he's on every week. He's on every single week. That was great, though, when he texted you for something. And you didn't write back, and I told you, and then you texted him. That was, he came, he was happy about that.
It was pretty funny because you know how like sometimes you get a text and you see it, and maybe you get distracted, and then like once the text is unread, it's I don't remember. 3 minutes later, I don't remember it.
Yeah,
If I have to get back to it, I have to remember to go and mark it like unread because otherwise it's gone from my life.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny considering Sal and I go so far back that he thought I was ignoring him because I would never do that to him.
He's stirring it up here in New York. That's for sure. I'm the fan now every day.
He's good
always,
at that.
Always something going on in here in
he's
New York with the fan. That's for sure. All right, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great game on Saturday. We'll be watching and then enjoy the NFC title game.
Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
All right, joining me now, as he does every week for our Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how the hell are you?
Good. I feel like we haven't done this in a while. Maybe it's just because we're recording later in the week, but it feels like we haven't done it in a while.
I think we recorded on Tuesday last week, and now it's Thursday, so we had an extra couple of days.
All right, extra day's rest.
Yeah. But did you enjoy the football last week?
I did enjoy it. I mean, I don't think the games were the best. Obviously, the Lions and Rams game was the best game. But I still love it. I mean, one gripe, and maybe we disagree on this, and one of the games, there's nothing you could do about it. The bad weather had it moved. Monday night does not feel like playoffs to me. It feels like a Monday night football game. So I missed I want all the games on the weekend. That's what I would prefer. I know it's not going to happen. That would be my one gripe with everything.
I actually agree with you that the Monday night doesn't feel like a playoff game. But I wonder if that's because of the teams that were in it. I mean, and the game. But I like having the Monday because I'm all for as many days. So give me football Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm happy instead of just Saturday, Sunday. But I do agree that the Monday night doesn't have that playoff feel like Saturday and Sunday did. I do agree with you on that.
Right.
I think
so.
What hurt?
I would prefer Saturday 1-4-8, Sunday 1-4-8. Boom. Obviously, snowstorm, whatever, you move it to Monday. But I'm talking about wild card weekend. Give me 3 Saturday. Give me 3 Sunday. And that, it's one weekend a year where you're going to go nuts with the 3, you know, the lineup from 1-4-8. Just do that instead of spreading it. Mondays, the week is over. Like the weekend, once the weekend ends, that's it. You're on to the next week.
Yeah, no, see, I like having the extra day. I think the biggest issue is that the games are just terrible.
Yeah.
Except for the Rams and the Lions. I think they were not good games.
I watched the Steelers-Bills a little bit more than the late one. I really didn't even – like, I wasn't locked into the late one. And it's a playoff game. I'm usually locked into every one. So, maybe it is, you're right, the Bucks-Eagles. But still, I just think any playoff game should be feel special. I didn't have that feel. And the broadcast is great. It's not those guys. I just – the Monday night work week, I don't know.
Well, now you will have just Saturday and Sunday.
Right, this but it's weekend. Not 1-4-8. You get the two, you know, the two games on each day, which is great, but it's still not the special hit you with the 1-4-8.
Right. Which game are you looking forward to the most this weekend?
Good question. Probably the Bills, Chiefs. I mean, I think this is finally the time where the Bills get over the hump. I'd be curious to see Mahomes on the road. I think that's going to be fun. That to me is the best matchup. I know Saturday night's going to be a fun one too, but if I had to pick one, you know, I don't love the Texans, Ravens. Don't get me wrong. I know it's a big game and I'm curious about Lamar, but I don't love that matchup as much as I do Bills Chiefs. That's the premier game.
Yeah, by far. And I love the storyline of Mahomes on the road. I think that adds a lot to it.
Right.
Hopefully Taylor Swift doesn't show up and ruin everything again. I like how you're not allowed to say that. Like now, like if you say like she annoys you, oh my God, the backlash. It's crazy. Everyone out there, Stephen A. Smith and these two, I'll believe her. Like it's annoying. Sorry. But
whatever. I mean, I'm indifferent. I took offense that I'd rather like, okay, you're going to give Taylor Swift all the love, then how come with the Lions-Rams game I wasn't seeing Eminem every 5 seconds? Like, I want to see his reaction.
Well, because he's not the biggest pop star on the planet right now.
Oh, come on. Well, it depends who you ask. I mean, I understand what Taylor Swift
is
right now.
Well, no, it doesn't depend who you ask. It doesn't. No.
I'd rather see Eminem than Taylor Swift any day of the week. Eminem.
Right, but is the great, right, right, that's fine. But she's the biggest pop star on the planet.
He's Eminem.
That's just the way it is.
He's oh been around for over 20 years.
I mean, you're not being serious right now.
Eminem at his peak was as big as Taylor Swift.
Okay, but it's not 1998. It's 2024. And he was not as big as that. And he was never as big as Taylor Swift.
Come on.
Ever.
Come on.
His audience just is not the same size. It's not even close.
But he's an actual Lions fan. Like, that's got to count for something, too. I actually hear his reaction because he's a Lions fan. I wanted to see his reaction.
My beef with the Taylor Swift thing, more, I mean, it's annoying. That's my biggest beef. But also, I want them to show her when he's out there dropping passes left and right. Show me that.
Yeah, he
that's what I want to see.
Yeah, he's not been the same player.
No, he has not. He dropped, one was over his head, but old Travis Kelce would have caught it. And then one was just right in the numbers and he dropped it. Mm. They don't go show her. They don't go show her when that happens.
No, but she did have a nice jacket.
I mean,
and by the way, I wouldn't be opposed to them showing Kyle Juszczyk's wife on Saturday night.
Again, they're not going to show anyone's wife because they're not her. Like, that's, you know.
No, but she makes great jackets.
I mean, are you? I don't even know if you're being serious right now.
I am. Have you looked her up?
No. About great jackets. Like, who gives a shit?
Well. Like, come on. It's like, it's a big pop culture thing right now. I even had guys as a fan be like, oh, just see those jackets? We got to get some. I'm like, not so fast. I don't know if I'd wear it, but I do think they're cool.
I mean, you're being serious right now with me. People are talking about the jacket.
About Kyle's wife?
About her jackets.
No. Dude, it's a phenomenon. Yes.
I had
no idea.
She
made the one that you didn't know about bubble. This?
I know she made Taylor Swift's jacket. I didn't know people were like, oh my God.
They've gone.
I know she made the jacket.
She gained like 500,000 followers or something. Yeah, right.
Well, yes, those fans are lunatics. But I didn't. But again, if you're trying to say that Kyle Juszczyk's wife is hot, okay, I understand that part of it, even though you're not supposed to say that these days. But you're telling me that like people are going crazy for this jacket. I haven't met anyone in my world going crazy for a jacket of Taylor. I don't know what that. I don't know. I'm lost.
I guarantee you Saturday night, his wife, Juszczyk's wife, will be shown on TV. I guarantee it.
That's fine. I don't have an issue with that. I have no issue
either.
With that.
I'm just saying that I'd rather see that. She's going to be wearing some of her clothing line, and I'm sure there's going to be a storyline a little bit. Not the storyline, but, you know.
I mean, I don't know. I'm supposed to care about her clothing line? I don't know. I'm so lost right now. It's not even funny. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? I don't know.
No,
this was not my world this week. Yeah. And I just want to say one thing about the Peacock thing quickly, because I put out a tweet. I should read out the tweet because, my God, not everyone, but so many people misinterpreted it, read into it more than it was. So let me just, and then I get people like saying, like, I should shut up about Peacock. Well, what else do you want me to talk about? Like, I'm supposed to cover, like, media stuff. And the NFL putting a playoff game on a streaming service is a big media story. So, you know, people want me to, like, give it up, but I'm not going to give it up. Well, but let me just read what I tweeted. And it was my fault for not being fully clear of what I meant with the tweet. So I'll clear it up now, although I did try to. Okay. So before I read the tweet, just quickly, I'll give you a little heads up here. Packers Cowboys drew 40 million viewers. And the game was terrible. The Rams and the Lions drew 36 million viewers. The Bills and the Steelers on Monday at 4:30 drew 32 million viewers. The Rams and the Lions drew, 36. And the Browns and the Texans drew 29, okay? So Browns, Texans, 29 million, 32 million for Bills, Steelers, 36 for Rams, Lions, 40 million for Packers, Cowboys. The Chiefs and the Dolphins did 23 million. So that's 6 million less than the lowest game. And it was a sexy matchup with the Chiefs, Mahomes, all that against the Dolphins. So this is what I tweeted. Despite NBC bragging about 23 million on Peacock for Dolphins, Chiefs, Browns, Texans, $29 million. Rams, Lions, $36 million. Packers, Cowboys, $40 million. NFL probably cost itself $10 to $12 million with Peacock money grab. Some people interpreted that tweet as I meant that the NFL lost $10 to $12 million. No, I meant viewers, because based on the numbers of all the games, Chiefs Dolphins on NBC would have gotten 30 million viewers easy with that matchup.
At least.
So it got 23.
Yeah. Right.
And then people were like, well, they did it to get subscriptions. Yes, I know that. Other people like, I want to know how many people signed up and canceled. Well, yeah, I'd like to know that. But I was, all I was doing was making one observation. My only observation was, by putting the game on streaming, they probably lost 10 million viewers that would have watched it if it was on NBC. That's it. And that 23 million that watched it, I'm not saying someone's lying, but I'm going to say that I don't fully believe that number. First of all, the number I think is more like 20 million because the local Kansas City and Miami markets got it over the air, not on Peacock. But in November, Peacock had 28 million subscribers. In November, 28 million. You're going to tell me now 23 million people watch that game? Something ain't kosher there. That's all I'll say about that. But my only point...
Now, wait, why would you say that? So you're saying that there's no way that percentage of subscribers would watch the game?
Yes.
Hmm.
If they had I'm sure millions of people signed up on Saturday. I don't know how many. But I'm saying, if you're a streaming service with 28 million people subscribing, you can't convince me that 23 million watch something.
Right.
That's all.
Even if it is an NFL playoff game, they would have had to increase the subscriptions, which I'm sure they did.
Of course. Absolutely.
Them, yeah.
Right.
And then other people like, you know, by the way, I had a caller call in and say that he doesn't have Peacock, but he watched the game on his phone. And we're like, no, you didn't. It was exclusive on Peacock. And then we found out that you could have watched it on your tablet or phone through some kind of NFL app.
NFL Live app.
Which is bullshit. Is it exclusive or not? I don't understand.
Well, no, but you have to pay for the NFL Live app. It's not free.
So these people already had the NFL Live app. But so then I'm confused by that whole thing. So you,
I don't,
you
have to pay, I don't, for this. I don't think that caller is accurate. I think you had to have some subscription, I think, to watch the game. I shouldn't say, because I don't 100% know, but I do know if you have the NFL Live app, they show the primetime, they show the games on there, but you have to pay for that app. So.
I don't know.
But my details. only
sound like, yeah, good.
No. My only point was that 10 million people, give or take a couple, would have watched the game on NBC that didn't watch it because it was on Peacock. I understand the NFL doesn't need the money. The NFL doesn't need the viewers. The NFL could do what they want. The NFL is setting up for the future of streaming. I get all that. I was just making that observation. And then people, and here's, and the bottom line for me, you are so dumb if you don't think there's going to be an NFL playoff game next year on Paramount Plus and maybe ESPN Plus, in addition to Peacock. They're all going to have playoff games. This is where it's going. It's going to happen. And you just, right. Everyone, so just keep paying and paying and paying. That's all. Pay.
What are we supposed to do? What would you suggest we do?
Not pay. That's all you can do. Pay or don't watch it. Everyone's going to pay. The NFL can do what they want.
But, you either not watch it or you pay to watch it and you just pay for a month. Like, their little gimmick... Their little gimmick is not – they're thinking that people are going to sign up and be like, oh, wow, look at this great service and all these different options that they have, or forget to get out of it. So we have to be smarter and say, okay, I'll pay the $6 or the $10 or whatever it is for the month, and then I'm canceling, and I'll do it again next year. So when you look at it, if you had to pay $30, let's say, worst case scenario, to watch three playoff games, you do that. You do it and you move on.
But
I'm not doing a deal for 12 months and all that BS.
But you're the type of person that'll make sure you cancel. There's a lot of people that end up not canceling, which is
crazy. I don't understand how. You just sign up for something and let it go? Like, why?
I think people just forget it because it's not that much money. It's like $6 a month. So they don't, I think they just don't think about it.
Yeah.
That's my assumption. But there's going to be playoff. And then I had some idiots on Twitter say to me, like, well, how come you didn't complain. You don't complain about the Thursday night Amazon game. Well, one, I did complain about it when it happened. And two, you can't compare a Thursday night regular season game with an NFL playoff game. Putting the playoff game on the streaming service is what the slap in the face is.
Right, because whether it's the Yankees on Prime or Apple TV, whether it's a regular season NFL game on Prime or Amazon or whatever, or Peacock, like that, you could miss those and survive. You cannot miss a postseason game in the NFL and survive.
Exactly. And they put Dolphins Chiefs on there, which was a sexy matchup. They did, you know, it still only got 23 million. All right. I want to talk to you about this awful announcing. They do this, they do like a survey every year of every NFL announced team. Mm-hmm. And it's from the readers. It's from the awful announcing readers. And I just want to read you and I get your thoughts and then I'll weigh in here. So this is what the awful announcing readers, they do it on a grading system. The number one team that got the highest grade was Buck and Aikman. So I have no issue with that. I'm good with that. Number two was Ian Eagle and Charles Davis.
Love it.
Okay. Number three was Kevin Harlan and Trent Green. Number four, Burkhart and Olsen. Number five, Tirico and Collinsworth. Mm. Six, Nance and Romo. Seven, Joe Davis, Darryl Johnston. Eight, Kevin Kugler, Mark Sanchez. Nine, Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit. 10, Catalan, Tiki Barber, Matt Ryan. So, you have any initial thoughts on that top 10?
Yeah,
anyone
I don't
too
agree
high,
with
anyone
it.
Too low, anyone. All right, go ahead.
I would not have had Harlan number 3. I think the Catalan team is way too low. I think Al Michaels way too low. And I think Tirico Collinsworth also too low.
Yeah, my biggest issue here is Joe Davis and Darryl Johnston at number 7.
I mean,
you can't tell me that it's a better team than Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, than Catalan and Tiki and Matt Ryan.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, was...
The fact that Al's that far, I think Tirico, Collinsworth need to be up there. I think Al needs to be up there, and I wouldn't have Catalan, Ryan, and Tiki last. No chance.
Well, no, there's seven. I read you the top 10. There's 17 in total. Yeah. Because I'll give you the rest of the rest of the list quickly. 11 Fowler, Orlovsky, and Riddick. They only did 4 games. So
God, 12 they Adam 17.
12, Adam Amin and Mark Schlereth. 13, Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma. 14, Tom McCarthy, James Lofton, and Jay Feely. 15, Spiro Dedis and Adam Archuleta. 16, Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner. And then last was Chris Myers and Robert Smith.
Oh, I can't knock the bottom two there. Although I put Fowler in the bottom three. Those teams are probably the bottom three, however you want to organize them.
Yeah. A lot of people like Mark Sanchez. I think he's good too. But Joe Davis and Darryl Johnston at 7 they're not a top 10 team. That's the bad one.
Sanchez is fine. You can't rank them ahead of
Alan Kirk,
Tirico. Yeah, and Al. And I think Catalan, Tiki, and Matty Ice are, now maybe I'm a little biased, but even if you take out Tiki and Matt Ryan, who I'm biased for, I think Catalan's better than a lot of those guys that they mentioned that were ranked ahead of him.
Yeah, I'd love to see Catalan in a two-person booth with like an A-list analyst, and I'd love to see. I think that would be a great team. You know, Matt Ryan's in his first year. Tiki's in his first year. Three-man booth I don't love. But, the Al Michaels thing now is becoming like Romo, where people are just bashing to bash, I think.
I mean, come on. That's so disrespectful, that list. Give me a break.
All right. Love it. did you see
I would have killed to listen to Al Michaels do a game this weekend. What are you kidding me? Come on.
That's what I agree with that 100%.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
All right, we talked a little bit earlier about Taylor Swift and Eminem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the now the Super Bowl, as we know, is not for us. The Super Bowl is for the fringe fan. So
my worst football game of the year.
Yes, and the NFL announced today the national anthem will be sung by Reba McEntire. America the Beautiful will be sung by Post Malone. And Lift Every Voice and Sing will be sung by Andra Day. Any of those do it for you?
No. Didn't Reba McEntire sing like the anthem at WrestleMania 6 or something? Like, I'm pretty sure she did some kind of wrestling thing many years ago, if I'm not mistaken. But come on. I mean, what are we doing here? Post Malone, I like. I don't know if I need him to sing the anthem at the Super Bowl.
He's not doing the anthem. He's doing America the Beautiful.
Oh, whatever. America the Beautiful, yeah. It's...
I don't understand why we sing America the Beautiful at these games, but that's a whole other issue. I don't understand why we sing the anthem either, but that's another issue.
Yeah, don't get into that.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I thought those were, you know, I don't know if I'm like going to make Shorm in front of the TV for any of those performances.
Only one that intrigues me even slightly is Post Malone.
Yeah, not me.
Can you look up real quick? I don't know,
I'm told.
Because I'm doing.
Yeah.
I want to see if Reba McEntire did something at a. Unless I'm mixing her up with something like. Isn't she an older country singer?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure she did something like an old school WrestleMania. If I'm not.
You are correct. She sang America the. Oh wait. She sang America the Beautiful at WrestleMania. Something at WrestleMania 8.
Oh, okay, no, there you go.
She did the anthem. She did the well, no, now I'm getting okay. Wikipedia, it says here she did at WrestleMania 8. There's some things on Twitter saying she did the Star Spangled Banner, and there's some things saying she did America the Beautiful. So she did one of those,
but it was songs. WrestleMania 8.
Correct.
So, look, okay,
with the memory,
right? So think about this, the Super Bowl. Is now stealing a bit that Vince McMahon used from WrestleMania fucking 8.
Well, I'll tell you know who the best one ever was at a WrestleMania was Aretha Franklin.
WWE. Remember that? Yeah.
Oh, that was all
they had
time.
Some good ones. Was that WrestleMania 3?
I believe it was. Yeah, the one in Detroit. Yeah, yes. With Andre and Hogan. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aretha was like so good. That was
talk
good.
About a big time deal. That was great.
One more musical thing. I thought of you when I saw this story last night, because you are currently a New York City commuter. I was a New York City commuter for like 20 years. And we'll get to Sal's house update, don't worry. And I saw that Jimmy Fallon did some bit where Green Day did an impromptu performance on a crowded subway. And my first thought when I saw it was, if Sal was on that subway, would he be livid? Would it all depend on who the artist was? Or like, because I know if it was me, if it was my favorite, like, I don't care who it was, I would be livid, because once the crowd forms, then I would have a panic attack from the claustrophobia. But if you were on a subway and the impromptu concert started breaking out with a legitimate A-list group, what would you think?
I think it probably, well, it depends on two things. One, who it is. Two, how fast do I need to get to wherever I'm going? If it's home, it's going to be a problem. You know, if I'm late for a show, it could potentially be a problem. If I'm just like, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, have some time to kill, I wouldn't mind it if it were the right act.
I love the idea of surprising people and giving people like a free thing and doing something for fans and all that. But like, can we maybe just stay off the subways? Well, even the subway platforms, like.
Yeah, well, it's just chaos. And the best thing I've ever seen on a subway, and I think this guy was like somewhat like subway internet famous. I wish I remembered his name. Maybe something Joe. He played Nintendo themes on his guitar. And it was on the subway. Fucking great. Like Super Mario Brothers. He's playing the thing on his guitar. And I'm like, this is awesome. I wish I could have bought the album. That was the best entertainment that I've ever seen on the subway car.
Okay. I'm just looking because I want to be... they didn't do it on the subway. They did it at the Rockefeller Center subway station.
Okay.
But when you see the pictures, I mean, there's hundreds of people.
Yeah, I'd be out.
Hundreds of people at a subway station makes me very, very nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not into that. All right. Sal, everyone wants to know. Peter Schrager hitting me up left and right. Andy Gray. It doesn't stop. The latest with the house.
Now, last I told you we're going to have to frantically go see this house on Thursday, last Thursday, right? I
think correct.
I gave you that on the air.
Yeah, you're going during the week, during the day, after a show, then you had to get back for SNY.
I get there Thursday. We have already made a blind bid without seeing. We rush to see the house. As we're walking up the driveway, our real estate agent says to me, I don't think our blind bid, which was already 150K over ask. She said, I don't think that's going to do it. So now I'm already pissed off.
She couldn't tell you that before you got to the house?
There were cars lined up of people to see it. I'm like, I wanted to say, just take back the offer and I'm going back to work. I didn't want to do this. But we're already there. So I take that in stride, even though I'm like, now have a frown on. Like, whatever. We see the house. Very nice. Whatever. Not like the greatest house that we've seen, but it's in a great area. Obviously a desirable area, which is why so many people are going nuts. We leave there, talk about it with my wife. Okay, what are we going to do? And we give our max all-in offer. Our real estate agent says, can you go a little bit higher? I'm like, what is this? Like, all right, fine. In the sake of putting everything that we've got into it, and let's just get this fucking thing over with, here you are. Best offer that we could do, even exceeding that to a certain extent, and it was over $220,000 over the ask, which is like, I can't even believe it. And then the best part is she said we should have an answer at some point today. Nothing. And then the next day, hopefully by noon, nothing. And this is dragging on until finally I get a text at 9 o'clock at night. Sorry, I have some bad news. You were close, but you were second. There was a higher offer.
Oh my God. But is that better in the long run? Do you really want to go 220 over?
It's not necessarily the amount over, because then to me, it's what I said was I don't mind losing. What I hate was the process. Frantically having my wife and I go there Thursday, having to blind bid a ridiculous number, like the bidding war, the blind bid, waiting for them to come back. Had they just said, like, house is available on Saturday, best and final offer on Sunday, decision on Monday, it would have been fine. We put in our bid, we win, we lose, whatever. Right. This was like, it was chaos. We overextended. And that wasn't even half of it. I'm doing a radio show. I'm getting texts. Oh, can you send me this from your bank account and this and that? And they want proof. And I'm like, it's my ass. Like, this it is what it is. Like, either take it or fucking leave it. But I couldn't.
And they left
that.
It.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't do that because even me, who is ultimate, like, blow the whole thing up, take it or leave it. I didn't do it because they said, we're this close. I'm not going to do that to my wife. I'm just going to sit out, ride it out, even though I knew in my gut that it was not right. And we wrote it out and ended up losing it anyway. So ridiculous.
Plus, now that you revealed how much over you went, I'm thinking you're paying next time we go to Maureen's.
I mean, wow. but you don't know
Maureen's Kitchen on Sal. You're going 220 over.
Yeah, you don't know.
Eggs on you.
Here's what happens. They put it at a lower price. And then everybody's like, oh, my God, I love this house. And then you realize, well, yeah, it's not what they said it was going to be. It really should have been listed 150 higher than what it was. Maybe
there's nothing worse than the game playing. It's all playing games. Right. Like, just tell me the amount and I'll put, like, why do we have to play games? I hate the games.
I said after all, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it. I said, I'll rent. I don't care if they come back to us now and say the first part fell out. I'm not paying a penny for that house anymore. I'm done with that. And I'm not doing this game anymore. I'm doing it normal now.
It's the games. It's the game. Can we eliminate the games?
Right.
You know what it's like? It's really not like this at all, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's like, this is why when I'm anti-encore when I go to a concert. Don't make me have to stand up and clap and then you come out again. Just play the whole set list. Why do we have to go through this game of thank you, good night. You go away. Everyone claps for 5 minutes. You come back. Just do the set list without the games. Why do we have to play the games? Now they're playing games. They're putting the price lower. You're going over. It's all, just give me the amount and I'll pay it.
Ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. And honestly,
did you look at houses Saturday and Sunday?
No, because that was supposed to be the house we were going to see on Saturday. But because we saw it on Thursday, we didn't have to go Saturday. There was really nothing else to go see. And plus, we were still like recovering from the death blow of getting that news late Friday night.
Will you go see houses this Saturday and Sunday?
Nothing up yet. As of this Thursday, there's nothing to go see.
All right.
Clock is ticking. So let's go to
Maureen's. Let's go to Maureen's Kitchen on Saturday before the football.
Yeah, I'll be around.
All right, good. But you can see me and Sal. We'll be at Maureen's on Saturday. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I think it's good. Yeah. Take this week off. NFC, AFC title games the next weekend on Sunday. So you have all day Saturday if you have to look for houses. Then there's that week off in between before the Super Bowl. That week off, you go look for houses. Recharge the batteries this weekend. You have the Saturday free, no football. Then the following weekend, there's no football. Then you have the Super Bowl. So you'll get it. You'll get it, I think in the next 3 weeks, it comes to an end.
Well, I hope so, because that is, like, we basically have a deadline. It's either mid-February or bust. We're going to have to rent at that point, but I'll keep you posted.
All right. Hang in there.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care. All right. My many thanks to Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olson. You can hear them on Packers Niners this Saturday. Enjoy chatting with them. And my thanks to Sal Licata for his weekly segment. If you are not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, hit that subscribe button, leave a review on Apple. If you missed last week's show with Jim Miller covering all of the ESPN controversy, check that out as well in the archive. All right, that wraps it up. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.